Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 397th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is The Unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was reading Revelation chapter 1 last week. Bill did a message on do you need to check your engine light? And he read Revelation chapter 1 verses 1 through 3. And it just struck me, you know, you can actually share a Resurrection Day message right out of the book of Revelation. So I'm going to start with these first three verses out of this amazing book, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel and his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I'm telling you, praise the Lord, folks. The time is at hand. Look at all the crazy stuff that's going on, and I hope you believe that. You know, tomorrow we celebrate Resurrection Day. And I know there's that big debate over there. Do you call it Easter? Do you call it Resurrection Day? I call it Resurrection Day. But don't divide among those turning their hearts and their eyes and their thoughts towards Jesus because they call it Easter. Just help them along. Help them to understand the power of the resurrection. So, in the light of this glorious truth, okay, that is literally hours away from us, I just want to take a break from our red pill moments and share what St. John saw on that island of Patmos nearly 2,000 years ago, and what all believers, all true believers, will soon see, and then everyone else will on Judgment Day. And that's the risen Lord Jesus Christ, revealed or unveiled in all of his glory. So I hope you stay tuned to this Resurrection Day message, because it's going to be something so powerful right out of the Logos. The Logos. What John saw so long ago in that rocky prison called Patmos. Now, I'm grateful for the book of Revelation, folks. I truly am. During our Resurrection Day celebration, what I want to do is just share some truths that come out of those first three verses. But I'm going to tell you somebody who doesn't like this book, and that's Satan. He hates the book of Revelation. In fact, there's two books that Satan hates. He especially hates the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation, the first and last books of the Bible. And here's the reason why, or here's the proof, I should say. In our world today, there's a war, okay, against the very first and last two things of the Bible. In the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, God says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And what's the big rage today? Evolution. God didn't create anything. It was a big bang. We can get into all that, and I've done messages on that, but you know the point there. And then what's the last part of the book of Revelation? Jesus is coming again. And this world doesn't want that. And that's the reason Satan hates these two books of the Bible so much, more so than any other book in the Bible. In the book of Genesis, God foretells, okay, of this doom that Satan's facing. Okay, in the book of Revelation, it's revealed. And that's why there's no devil in the first and last two chapters of the Word of God. So in Genesis and Revelation, the first and last books, it's all tied together. And Jesus is found on every single page. That's what's so powerful, and that's what's so exciting about doing a Resurrection Day message on the first three verses of the book of Genesis. You know, in Genesis, we see the creation of heaven and earth. And in Revelation, we see the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. In the book of Genesis, we see the first Adam who's reigning on earth. And in the book of Revelation, we see our Savior, Jesus Christ, the last Adam, ruling and reigning in perfect glory, in all of his glory and splendor. For Genesis, we see the first Adam take an earthly bride, Eve. And then in the book of Revelation, our heavenly King, our bridegroom, takes us as his bride, the Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam. Then in the book of Genesis, we see the curse of death begin with that event in the garden as Eve is beguiled by the serpent, and then Adam joins in. And then what happens in the book of Revelation? Well, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and King of Lord of Lords, what's he do? He brings us to a place he's prepared, been preparing for the last 2,000 years, where there's no more death, no more tears, no more sin. In the book of Genesis, man's driven from God's face by sin, by his sin. He hides. And in the book of Revelation, we see God's face in its glory. When John saw it, he fell as if he were dead, you know? In the book of Genesis, what happens? Satan appears on earth as a serpent, and like I said, beguiles Eve. You can be like God. Oh, he's trying to keep you from being like him. And then what happens in the book of Revelation? Satan appears on earth for the last time. In the book of Revelation, it's like a binder clip on a big stack of papers, okay? Brings the whole Bible together. And its main character, Jesus, is the glue that you'll use to bind the spine of that book together. It holds it all together. Jesus is through the whole thing. So let's start this message, and before I do, I just want to mention something. We always talk about, you know, Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and that's true. But last night, Becky shared a little bit about the resurrection, okay? And this is what the apostles preached. Acts 1:22. Must be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. 2:31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. Jesus, the resurrection from the dead, Acts 4:2. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord, 4:33. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again in this matter. So what the apostles were doing is they were out there preaching the resurrection and the power of the resurrection. There's power in the resurrection. That same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, he, the Holy Spirit, lives in you and me. So that's what's so important to understand. Yes, Jesus died on that cross, and we celebrated that, or we commemorated. That's not much of a celebration in a sense, huh? But we commemorated that yesterday with Good Friday. And tomorrow, we're going to celebrate the power of the resurrection. That's the power of death. That's the power that defeated death, folks. That's the power that's behind it all. And that's the same power that lives in you and me. So remember, this Jesus we're seeing revealed in the book of Revelation is the Jesus after resurrection in his full glory. He's revealed in the book of Revelation. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Remember, in verse 1, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, if we don't understand that, I'm telling you, we've missed the whole point of this message. The testimony of Jesus is what it's all about. Testimony of Jesus, it's right there, you know? So we're looking at something, or I should better say someone, okay? And this someone is Jesus. So don't go looking for some event that has to happen. Just keep your eyes up and fixed on the return of Jesus. Now, if you read the book of Revelation and don't see the triumph of the Lamb, you've missed it all, because this book is all about the triumph of the Lamb, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the resurrection. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, some people call it revelations, but it's not revelations plural. It's revelation singular. It's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the hero of the Bible, especially the book of Revelation. And if you can't find the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, wherever you're reading, okay, go back and read it again and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to you. He's the theme of the Bible, folks. He's the center and very heart of that Bible. He's the Rose of Sharon and the Lily Fair. That's what some poet wrote. So the Lord of the book is none other than Jesus. And if you read your Bible and read it with a hunger and a thirst, you're going to see Jesus. Okay? Because this book is all about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And here, St. John saw his glory revealed, unveiled. You know, the first time he came, his glory was veiled in that body of flesh. You know, yesterday, commemorate the tearing apart of the curtain as it's rent in two from the top down. And the curtain has separated the holies of holy. And that just means that now there's a new way. And that way is Jesus. So the first time here on earth he came to a crucifixion, the second time he's coming to a coronation. And it's no normal coronation. This is the coronation of all coronations. First time, he endured shame. This time he's coming in splendor. That first time, he hung from a tree. This time, he's going to be sitting on a throne, praise the Lord. The first time he was judged by Pilate. Guess what? This time he's judging Pilate, and Pilate knows it. The first time he came as a servant, this time as the sovereign. So I'm telling you, his glory is going to be revealed. And the book of Revelation just gives us a peek ahead. Just a peek ahead a little bit. We're going to see what he's like. You know, Jesus is abused and misused and neglected and scorned today. He doesn't have his rightful place in society. For example, did you hear about this ice cream company, Jesus Ice Cream? It's sick. There's occultic symbols in it. There's a mocking of Jesus. You know, a lot of the Baptist women down south with their fried chicken banquets after a good worship service, they'll say things like, sweet Jesus. And they're not saying that in a bad way. But then these people mockingly picked that up and named an ice cream company after it. You know, the truth is, Jesus is coming back, and we're all going to see him in his glory. It's going to be unveiled, and it's going to be beyond anything you can imagine, folks. We're not going to see him as he was. We're going to see him as he is. He vowed this when he was with the apostles. Now, he let it out on the Mount Transfiguration story. Let them see it a little bit. But he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So this book of Revelation is all about Jesus unveiled. And he's the key to all of this, folks. And as I'm talking here and sharing this, I think I want to get more into that power of the resurrection and more on the whole revealing of Jesus, because it goes into great detail about what he looked like. And I just don't have time to talk about all that now. But, and that's because there's more here, okay? There's a very comforting promise in this verse we just read, okay? In verse 2, speaking of John the servant, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus and all the things that he saw. So what John saw was this full glory of Jesus, amen? But there's also a comforting promise. And he says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You know, this verse tells us there's a blessing, and all we need to do is read it, heed it, and keep it. Amen? Blessing in this revelation. Yep, people don't normally read this book. Even a lot of pastors won't preach from it. It's controversial. And what's happening? Well, they're missing a blessing. This one book that brings us a special blessing. And who doesn't want to be blessed? And here's the way it promises blessing. Each time you read it, you're blessed. Each time you hear it being read, you're blessed. So have you spent much time in the Word of God lately? How about in the book of Revelation specifically? Folks, I'm telling you. Actually, I'm not telling you. I'm telling you what the book says. It's a blessing to those who read it. And then after you read it, you need to spread it around. And by doing so, you're obeying his word. And that's one of the first blessings you get. So if we're to read it, yet many have never read through the whole book of Revelation, you're missing a blessing. So I hope after you hear this message, you sit down and just read it. Just read it like you're reading a book, okay? I'm telling you, you will be blessed. Just read it. Don't worry if you get all the details. Just read it. You're not going to get it by osmosis, folks. You can't sleep on the Bible, use it as a pillow, and think it's going to just go into your brain like the training lessons did in the Matrix. Every time they had to learn to fly a helicopter or handle a special gun or do some sort of special procedure. That's not how you learn the Bible. You learn it by reading it. In his message to the churches that come a little bit later here in the opening part of the book of Revelation, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The point I'm trying to make is you can read something and still not hear it or get it. You know what I mean? Now, sadly, a lot of people have this morbid curiosity about end times and what's going to happen in the future. And if you read the book of Revelation for that, you might hear it, but you're not going to hear it. You know what I mean? You're not going to go out and obey it. And only by really hearing it and heeding it are you going to be blessed. And one of the commands the Bible's very certain on, and there's no debate on this, is that we're to bring souls into the kingdom. The Bible says, let him that heareth say, come, and everyone say, come, take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17, by the way, okay? So we've got to get it into our heads and out of the clouds of confusion. So we got to get this clear truth into our heads. When you hear this, say to others, come and take of this water of life freely. Get your heads out of the clouds of prophecy for a minute. And what's going to happen next week? And what happens when the moon aligns with the sun and this star falls and this happens? Forget about that. Tell people Jesus Christ is the living water. Tell them that all of their cares could be laid at his feet. And he'll never abandon them. He'll never forsake them. Share the power of the resurrection with them. That's what the disciples and the apostles did. And that's what we have today, the faith once delivered unto the saints. Folks, I'm telling you, this book is the only book I know that blesses you, especially the book of Revelation. And there's some other reasons it blesses you, okay, in addition to trusting, obeying, okay? For example, the mystery of history or his story is revealed when you read this book. Now, the Eastern religions, they talk about karma and history going in cycles and reincarnation, but that's all fantasy. That's all science fiction. So they believe that you just keep coming back till you get it right. I'm telling you, that's not true. The Bible tells us the truth about history and the truth about time. It's linear. It's not secular. It's linear. So we're moving forward, and we're moving towards a goal, folks. Think about it. When you play checkers, what's your goal in checkers? You want to get to the king's row in the back on your opponent's side. Then you say, crown me, or crown him, you know? And that's what God's doing with Jesus through his story or history. God's moving his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, into the king's row. And he's going to say, crown him, Jesus. It says in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's the mystery of history, folks, and that's what we're going through right now. That's the reason the world's in such a mess today. Things are out of order. Jesus, the King of Kings, he belongs on his throne, but he's not there. And the bride, that's the church, belongs with its groom. Yet they're not together yet. And that criminal Satan, where does he belong? Well, he ought to be in prison, praise the Lord. Now, one of these days, the king will be on his throne, and it's coming soon, folks. I'm telling you, and the bride will be with her groom in all his glory. And that criminal, that devil, he's going to be where he ought to be, locked up in prison. And then we're going to see things the way they ought to be. Praise the Lord. It's coming, folks. I'm telling you, it's coming faster than anyone realizes it. And that's what makes this all so exciting, okay? We're going to see it the way it's meant to be. And it's going to be coming to pass. And this book, reading this book, unlocks those mysteries for everyone who reads it. And that's a blessing. And another blessing is it kind of makes sense, or helps you make sense out of the suffering you're going through. The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 4, listen to this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, it's really tough finding the right words to share with somebody when their child's suffering in a hospital bed and they're just squirming in pain and none of the pain meds help the child. What do you say to that parent? Or when you're standing at the graveside of a young man who just had to bury his wife and he's holding his now motherless daughter in his arms. What words can you say to comfort that pain? Or the mother who's just lost her little baby, the angels came, baby to Jesus prematurely for whatever reason. What do you say to somebody like that? Well, there's one thing this book says to all of us. This isn't God's final plan. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So, folks, if you're going through that grief right now, the loss of a loved one, and I don't know anything more painful here on earth, know that that's not his final plan. He's going to wipe away all those tears. He's going to. Plus, there's something else this word, the Logos, gives to all of us, and that's stability in these chaotic times. It's so crazy. Just put on the news. Have you done it lately? I got to shut it off. I can't watch it. These are very strange days we live in. You know, the Logos says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, this is where our Lord Jesus is speaking. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Logos, folks, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and is to come, the Almighty. And I'm going to add here, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So trust Jesus. He's got everything in control, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Almighty. You know, there was an uneducated man that was getting mocked by a lot of his friends and people that knew him that were educated, you know. They were making fun of him because he was reading this book. And they said, there's no way you can understand that. And you know what he said to them? He said, I understand it. And they said, no, you can't. It's an enigma. It's a puzzle. You got to study Greek and Hebrew and ancient history. Nobody can truly understand it. He goes, no, I understand it. And they're all cocky. And so, okay, so what's it mean? And you know what he said? I know the end of the story. We win. And folks, that's right. ought to give you and me stability. Amen? So the second coming of Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star, okay, he's going to give us a stability as we look forward, knowing that we know the end of the story. He's coming, and this second coming is going to be glorious. It's going to be beyond anything we could put words to. And that's why it's a blessing, because it stabilizes our hope. And then finally, there's a certain prophecy here concerning the revelation of Jesus. Verse 3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, for they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep these things which are written, for the time is at hand." I'm telling you, folks, the time is at hand. It doesn't mean it's immediate. It's imminent. And there's a big difference between the word immediate and imminent. Imminence means that Jesus can come at any moment before I finish this next sentence, okay? So we're not waiting for some event in history. Come literally before the end of this day. He could come at any moment. That's imminence. So that's why we're literally, I'm talking literally living on the edge of eternity. So you need to be living in a ready mode, okay, a state of readiness. Because he could come this afternoon. The scriptures say the same thing in different ways. I'm going to read a few here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober-minded and watch unto prayer." Now, Peter wrote this 2,000 years ago. But the end of all things are at hand? That's imminence, folks, at any moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Listen to this, written by St. Paul. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You know, Paul thought it could happen back in his day. Jesus could return then. And listen to what he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 5. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." The Lord is right here with us in spirit. And that could be a portion of the meaning there. But I think it means the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming soon. And that's the same thing John wrote here in the book of Revelation. And then how about James in chapter 5, verse 8? "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And James wrote that 2 millennia ago. Amen? And then listen to what St. John wrote in his first letter, chapter 2, verse 18. I love this passage, folks. "Little Jesus, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now, there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time." Now, you may wonder, were they all wrong? No, they weren't wrong. That's what imminence means. They were all right, every single one of them. For 2,000 years, we've been living in the last days. The idea, we're waiting for something to be fulfilled before Jesus can return. The Apostle Paul was expecting him. James was expecting him. Peter was expecting him. They all expected Jesus to return in their lifetime. And they weren't wrong. That was the right way to live. That's the right way to think. And likewise, every Christian in every generation since then ought to be living in that same light of the imminence of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you got to prepare and you got to work. And your work has got to be done with the same diligence, the same strength that they built that cathedral in Notre Dame over 800 years ago. You want to build it like it's going to live or exist for 1,000 years with that quality and that dedication. But you want to be prepared for Jesus to come back this afternoon. It's an enigma of sorts, but really it isn't. It's living in the light of Christ. People say, well, you've got to go through the Great Tribulation before Jesus came. But we're not waiting for the Great Tribulation, folks. We're not waiting for the seven vials or the wrath or the mystery Babylon to be revealed. We're waiting for Jesus. You never heard any of these apostles in their letters and in their gospels talk about this. They're all talking about Jesus. And when he comes, he's going to give a shout and burst through that blue sky. So we ought to be living on the ready, folks. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean there's no signs of his coming. And that doesn't mean that all these things that our brothers in prophecy share aren't important. The book of Revelation tells us horrific things that are going to come. And they're all real. Plus, there's going to be this one world religion. It's going to be a synergistic syncretism. It's going to be a synthesis. They're going to homogenize Muslim with Jew and Jew with Christian, and you got the Krishnam thing. And some people said that's what that whole Notre Dame burning was all about, an amalgamation of all the world's religions. And there's all kinds of interesting stuff out there about that right now. So we see it happening today. And there's going to be this incredible increase in knowledge. We know about that. We see it happening now with the computers and the database. And the world's all going to be systematized. Look what smartphones are doing now. And now we have these bio-identifiers that they can read your iris and even your facial recognition programs. And now they can read emotion on your faces. And soon there's going to be that marker number. We won't buy or sell without it. How about the whole thing that's going on? People are being demonetized. People are being blocked from bank accounts and Chase. That's going to be your new social score. Are you a good citizen? This is all happening, and it all foregleams this end time. And there's going to be a world at war and great plagues and devastation. That's the part, all parts of the great tribulation. I'm not denying that. That's happening. But that's not what you should be looking at. You should be looking at Jesus. All these things just foretell or foreshadow the truth that Jesus can come at any moment. These things can happen and happen suddenly, just like that. And that's how things happen a lot of times. They'll be going along, and then boom, you're boiling that water and the pot's on and the pot's lid just gets blown off, you know? And that's how things happen in history too. Suddenly, okay, quickly, they come to pass, as the Bible says. Think about how the world's changed since 9/11. In 2001, one day you just went to work. If you're a little bit older, you can remember that. I can remember the sun was shining, everything was normal. And then suddenly everything changed, boom, like that. And that's what the book of Revelation talks about, things that must swiftly come to pass. You know, somebody asked Ernest Hemingway this one time, how do you go into bankruptcy? And he said, well, at first, very slowly, and then quickly. The way this whole end time thing is going to happen, at first very slowly and then very quickly. It all just kind of happens suddenly. You know, you're living in a day and then quickly it just comes to a climax. Things must quickly come to pass. Now, here's the problem. Okay, we have this escalation of scientific knowledge and it's happening all over this technology, machines. We've got the whole chimera thing happen again with all these biomedical breakthroughs and the cloning that's going on. And then we've got the integration of man and machine and transhumanism and human 2.0 and all the stuff that's happening. Well, it's all good, isn't it? All these new medicines, all this stuff we have, it's all great, isn't it? Technology is the key, isn't it? Well, it's a tool, and it can be used for both good and bad. And I'm in this industry, folks. I'm telling you, you can use it for good, you can use it for bad, and it all depends, okay? It could be weapons of mass destruction, of destruction against the disease or destruction against something bad. It's all dependent on whose hands hold it. It's an amazing time we live in. We never lived in a time like this, but do not make science your God. Do not make medicine your God. Jesus is God. Okay? You know, we're living in a time when somebody could put a nuke in the suitcase and walk into New York City and wreak havoc. Somebody once said, when little man casts long shadows, you know the sun's about to set. And I'm telling you, knowledge is increasing exponentially. More and more, faster and faster. Daniel said, in the last days, knowledge shall increase. The Bible says, evil men shall wax worse and worse. More and more, deeper and deeper. But the thing we have, and what's so exciting, is that we know the power of the resurrection. We know that that same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you and me. So as you see all this stuff, okay, don't let people label you a pessimist. But they could if all you focus on is all that stuff. You want to be an optimist because you know he that lives in you is greater than he who lives in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. All these things that are prophesied in the book, they're true. And I'm so grateful that we have the book to tell us these truths. And I'm so grateful that we can study them together in forums like this and like the gatherings we have at Sozo's. But I'm telling you one thing. I'm telling you this one thing, okay? There's no secret what God can do. What he's done for me
He'll do for you. And what did he do for me? He saved me. He pulled me out of that miry pit, folks. I'm living in the power of the resurrection, and you can live in that power of the resurrection. And then regardless of what you see going on around the world, regardless, you can just celebrate and know that Jesus Christ is risen. Folks, I love y'all. Go out there and shine this light in a lost and fallen world. And I think next week, before we dive back into the red pills, I want to share a little bit more on this, the power of the resurrection and what Jesus actually looked like to St. John when his glory was revealed. But this week, go out, lift your hands up. And this is a song that I used to love to sing. Jesus Christ is risen today. I love y'all. And provided we're still here next week, and Lord's willing, I'll be back. I love y'all. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I love y'all.
He is risen indeed.